chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. I'll reverence the reading of God's word and let you stretch just a minute. Just going to read one verse, but please keep your Bible open. We'll be referencing several of the verses. Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Matthew chapter 24, as you know, if you've been in church any length of time, is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's where Jesus is dealing with and speaking to and teaching his disciples there on the mountain. And it's where Jesus goes up on the Mount of Olives and begins to preach and teach to his disciples. And he makes that prophetic statement that the temple would be destroyed and decimated. And in saying that, you got to understand, for them to hear that the temple was going to be destroyed and decimated, not one stone upon another. I mean, they were flabbergasted. They were floored. They could not believe what they were hearing. It got their minds to moving. It piqued their attention. Maybe if you could ever equate Jesus and his preaching or teaching as to being some sort of boring Sunday school lesson, that'd be a far stretch. Jesus was and still to date was, is, and will always be the greatest preacher that ever walked the planet or ever will walk the planet. A thunderous, powerful preacher. But there Jesus was teaching and preaching, and if Peter, James, or John, or one of the other disciples had nodded off, and by the way, just so some of you preachers, I can be an encouragement to you, people do happen to fall asleep while you preach. I don't care how good of a preacher you are. The Apostle Paul preached. Now, he did preach all night. And you remember Eutychus was in the windowsill and he fell out the window. Yeah. And somebody said, "Eutychus too, if you'd have fell out that window." But I doubt seriously that these boys was sleeping or daydreaming or nodding off. But if they had, when Jesus made the statement about this temple and that it was going to be destroyed, it got their attention. And they thought, surely that can't be. I mean, if you read Matthew chapter 24, to me, hearing that the temple was going to be destroyed is not the greatest prophecy that I read. I mean, he's talking about the end of time. He's talking about the world coming to an end. He's talking about war and rumors of war. And his return. So if I was prioritizing what the most powerful and potent statement would be, the one that would raise my antenna, it probably wouldn't be that the temple was going to be destroyed. But to these fellas, the temple was a big deal. To the Jew, the temple is a big deal. And we should know a little something about the temple, because the temple will be rebuilt. They will sacrifice again. That's not just some prehistoric thing or something that we read about in the Old Testament. There will be a new temple built, and they will begin sacrificing again. That's going to happen. But for these men, when they heard that, their mind began moving and questions began forming. And this is the setting. It piques their curiosity, and they ask Jesus, "What is the sign? Tell us what it's going to be like. Give us a sign of what the end of time is going to be like." And that's the scene in Matthew chapter number 24. And there are several famous and very familiar verses in this chapter that many, if not most of us, or all of us, will recognize if you read Matthew chapter 24. And you do got to be careful studying Matthew chapter 24. You got to make sure you keep things in context. You can get your theology and your doctrine way out of whack if you don't understand who God's talking to and when and where God's speaking of. And that's true of any part of the Word of God, but especially Matthew chapter 24. For example, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, when they ask, "Give us a sign, Lord. Give us something so we'll know." I mean, this is not just any preacher. Brother Ned, this is not just some Johnny come lately telling them or teaching them a Sunday school lesson. This is, if you got a Bible written in red, you'll notice that all along those words and on those pages, it's written in red, because this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ preaching and teaching and talking. And so they want to know, "Lord, tell us, give us a sign." We're not talking about what's going down next week or what the loss. You're talking about the end of time. How are we going to know? What's it going to be like? And so Jesus begins telling them, look at verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. That's sort of funny to me. Boys, I'm God. Whatever I say is true. It's going to happen. And there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. But don't be troubled. No big deal. See that you be not troubled. Listen, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Most of you, if not all of you, have heard these verses before. You've read them. You've heard preachers preach prophetical messages dealing with the coming of the Lord. And Jesus goes on and continues describing the conditions. Add that to the priority list. We got to get this bug fixed. This sound. Y'all hear that? The preacher just turned into a candy cane. All right. See if that helps. Hey, it's Valentine's Day. I care more about what my wife thinks than you do. She liked it. So Jesus goes on and continues describing the conditions of the end of time. And it's here that we find our key verse, our text, that where we began reading in verse 12. I'll read it again. "And because iniquity..." Keep in mind, Jesus is still speaking on the same subject to the same people, giving them signs of what it will be like. What will the condition be? What will people be doing? How will people be acting? What will be the spiritual temperature? What's going to be happening on planet Earth when the end of time comes? War, rumors of war, earthquakes, pestilence, and divers. Nestled right in the middle. Listen, listen. Jesus said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." If we didn't have any other prophecy, if we had never heard that there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places, that there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be war and rumors of war. You don't have to be a prophetical genius. You don't have to have a degree in eschatology and the study of end times. And you don't have to have memorized the book of the Revelation to understand in 2021, to be able to look around and see that the love of many is wax cold. I want to deal with that this evening just for a little bit. And that we would look in the mirror of the Word of God and not just chalk this scripture up and this word up as some future prophetical event that's going to take place, as the disciples were trying to probe Christ and say, "Tell us what the end will be like, and give us some new insight to what will be way out there in the future." But all that we would look into the Word of God right now in the present tense and see that God has a word to say to His people even now. Amen. People are enamored by prophecy, and you can pack stadiums by having some prophetical conference. People will pay big bucks and buy all kind of books. You go over there to my library, you'll find book after book after book on future events and the timetable of God and how it's all going to play out, and that's all fine, and I'm happy to study about what's going to happen. Listen, I'm headed for the future. If you're saved, so are you. We all have a future, and so it's good to have some insight about what's coming down the pike. But could I just encourage us all and challenge every one of us and say this evening? We better get our mind off of what's going to be and get to looking at what is.
Amen.
Because we can get so consumed with what's way out there that we allow our hearts to grow so cold and wax so cold. And Jesus said, if you really want to know what it's going to be like way out there, you don't have to listen for the cannon. You don't have to look and find a place where the earth splits and swallows people up. You don't have to wait for some pestilence. You can just look at men's hearts and see how cold that their love has waxed. And I believe we could all do that this evening. And look inwardly. This chapter is written as an end time prophecy, and Jesus is speaking of the atmosphere in which He will return. One of the distinct markings of the end is that the love of many shall wax cold. That ain't my opinion, that's what Jesus said. So you should agree. And just so I can help remind us all, to agree in a Baptist church, a good Bible word for you to learn is to say, "Amen." That's all "amen" means. I agree. That's what Jesus said. So we don't have to look far into in this wicked world to see that this verse has come to fruition. The Bible says in the last days that they shall be without natural affection. That's what the Bible says. Read Romans chapter 1. Have you ever seen a day and an hour where men and women have left their natural affection? It's almost mind-boggling. I mean, I'm 43, about to be 44. Listen, in my little old short life, I remember a time, Brother Raymond, we grew up in the country, right across the road from each other. We never heard of such. We never dreamed we'd see and live to a day to where things would be as they are, where men would love men and men would want to lie with men and call it normal, and women would say they love women and girls would say they love girls and call it natural and normal. I don't get up every service and harp. The devil does not like that kind of preaching. Somebody order a new one of these or find out what's wrong with that. Whoever does it gets a bonus. You get a dollar more than you got last week. I'm saying, simply saying, listen, it ain't natural. It ain't normal. You young people listening, hey, young people, are you listening? I don't care what they teach you in school. I don't care what you see on Netflix or on your video games or how subliminally they try to sneak it in and trick you and let you know and put on advertisements to daddies and how it's a natural home. God said that's leaving your natural affection. That's not natural. God created a man and a woman. God created Adam and Eve. I don't get up. I don't preach on it near it. You say, preacher, why are you dealing with it? I thought we was talking about the love of God. Hey, men's heart have waxed cold and colder and colder. And I'm letting you know, Jesus said in the end days that men's heart would wax so cold that they would not see a problem. Their heart would turn reprobate and they would leave their natural estate. They would leave their natural affection. And do you know that in my lifetime, I remember when people were ashamed. Do you know the statement, coming out of the closet, is rarely even used anymore? It's so outdated. You know why? Because that was leaving the natural affection has become so normal and natural that most of our children, it's just another thing, another day, another person. God forbid. Amen. They come to this church. Amen. And that I'd be so politically correct and so bashful. Amen. That I wouldn't stand up and take the word of God and thunder. I don't care if it's in your family or in my family. It's an abomination. It's wrong. It's wicked. It's sinful. It's hellish for a man and to love a man and lay with a man, a woman with a woman. You should have no part of it. You should not condone it. Listen to me. You say, oh, preacher, that's mean, that's cruel. I know so many in the LGBTQ, whatever else. Listen to me. I don't care what acronym or how many letters the coldest hearts in this world have put on some wicked sodomite lifestyle. God said it's wrong.
Amen.
If it's ever been wrong, it's still wrong. And it shall forever be wrong.
That's right.
I love the sinner. Absolutely. I don't hate people because what they call their sexual preference. It's not their preference at all. They might prefer that. They're just letting you know they prefer a wicked, wicked, abominable lifestyle. Are you listening? You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that word. Trust me, friend. Trust me. Your children have heard way worse.
That's right.
And we're so scared that we may turn their face red. I'm going to tell you something. I see way more parents' face turn a little pinkish and get a little bothered by hearing a word that their children, it's like water off a duck's back because they hear it day in and day out. They see it so much it's normal and natural. So that they should never hear that at church. If they don't hear it at church, under the umbrella of truth, they will hear it so much out in the world under the umbrella of a lie, it'll be camouflaged to the point they believe that it's okay. Well, I've got friends that way. Well, you should change your friends. And if you really love somebody, you say, but I love my friend. If you really love your friend, you will love them to Jesus. And you will stand for what the Word of God says, and you will love them the way the Word of God teaches love, and that's never to condone sin.
Right. Amen.
Jesus died for that.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I did not plan on staying there. But God knows, and you know, and I know, there is an epidemic that's rarely being spoken of. Our government is pushing it. Do you know the most discriminated person in America? It's not Black Lives Matter. It's not the LGBTQ community. It's not the transgender community. A white male is more discriminated. Let me say this. A white Christian male, they're coming for you, friend. If you don't believe me, listen, all the social media sites, all the news media organizations, they're all being ran by the same wicked, perverted, polluted, one power. If you don't see how this whole thing's shaping up and how they control the information that feeds down to the everyday man so they can brainwash a generation of people.
Amen.
We are. This train is so far down the tracks. Only Jesus coming back will fix it.
Amen.
And the church is the only hope your children have.
Amen.
And if you listen by way of radio or CD or internet, if you go to a church and your preacher won't stand up and preach against this sin and this wickedness, you need to find another church.
Amen.
Not toot my own horn, but God have mercy on our soul if we fail to tell our children and our family the truth. And the Bible speaks of, in the last days they shall be without natural affection, without the ability to love in a natural way. It's normal. It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's. Y'all just knew I was going to come preach such a sweet, lovey-dove message today. Happy Valentine's Day. It's natural. This thing is driving me crazy. It's natural for me to love such beauty. Got the best in the world. Most beautiful God ever made. That's as natural. I don't. I'm not bashful about that. I'm proud. Proud. Hey, boys, find you a girl.
Amen.
I have to deal with this. I thought I was about to church you this morning. Cameron said, I thank God Taylor's a woman. I said, I do too. I said, where are you going with this? She better be a woman. Girls, find you a boy. Amen. The last days they shall be without natural affection. That's just one little avenue. What about this? Have you ever heard so many mothers abandoning their children? That ain't natural. That is not natural. Babies being left at a firehouse. And that's one of the nicer ways they're doing it. Babies being left on the street corner, in a trash bin, in a dumpster. If the baby's lucky, it's not natural. I can't think of much of a greater love than a mother's love. It's one of the strongest loves known to humanity. It is absolutely not natural for a mother to abandon her child. But it's become such commonplace, it don't even make the news anymore. So what in the world's all this got to do with and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The abortion rate is at an all-time high. I believe the last I checked, the innocent blood of over 3,000 babies is shed every day in America. I'm not talking about leaving them at the firehouse. I'm not talking about dropping them off down the road and letting them fend for themselves. I'm talking about taking them to a butcher. And under the name of choice, butchering more babies than died on 9/11 every day in America. And we're worried about COVID? Little kids are being snatched, stolen, and are sold into the child human trafficking market at levels nobody can even wrap their minds around. I had no idea. I'd heard human trafficking. I believed it. I mean, I wasn't thinking it was a myth, but I had no idea. Do you realize Greenville, South Carolina is one of the major hubs? Greenville.
Yes, sir.
If you don't watch your child in public, they can be gone. So how are we going to know? The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, give us a sign. What do we look for? Is the earth quaking? Is pestilence coming? What do we look for? Where's the wars? He said, you'll know. Because iniquity shall abound and men's hearts will wax cold.
Yes, sir.
Who would have ever dreamed of snatching some precious little child to sell them off into some sex slave camp? I have done research and sat and wept. Wept. Everybody's worried about COVID, and I'm not belittling it, but under heaven, how does it not bring tears to our eyes? Knowing right now, as we sit on padded pews in a warm church building with all of our freedom and liberty, these precious little innocent babies, little girls, my children's age, that only God knows the hell. Say, we're not supposed to be talking about this in church. We must.
Amen.
Because the less we hear about it, the colder our heart grows.
Amen.
Out of sight, out of mind. Not trying to convict anybody, not trying to put you on a guilt trip. Please don't answer me. I'm not your pope. Could I ask you this? Ask yourself, how much time last week did you give to thinking about little children scattered all over the world? Some mama's baby, some mama's little girl, some mama's little boy who's living in an absolute hell on earth with no hopes of getting out. Being mutilated. Did we pray? Did you pray? You say, but I don't know their name. Jesus does.
Amen.
He knows where every child is.
Amen.
Would you give a little bit of your time this week? No, there's not going to be any payoff. There's not going to be any pats on the back. No name recognition. But I promise you there's a little child somewhere weeping. Who wish to God somebody would call their name out.
Amen.
That the God of heaven would grant a little grace. Say, what in the world, what could cause that? What would do that? What would drive somebody to do that? Iniquity shall abound, and men's hearts will wax cold. Say, preacher, it's awful morbid. Cut this blue one on, Eddie.
See, the devil don't like this kind of preaching.
That's awful morbid. That's awful graphic. We don't bat an eye when our children play some video game and see heads chopped off, blood splatter. But oh heavens, preacher, don't dare mention what's really going on in the last days, what Jesus warned us would happen. You're not going to hear this on the news media. But if I've done anything tonight, I hope, and I have not just even started the message, but I hope God has tenderized our heart just a little bit.
Amen.
The next time you get bored and think, I ain't got nothing to do, goodness, life's so boring. Don't you think about one of these little innocent children and take some of your boring time and put it to use. And ask the God in heaven who knows where they are. Or pray for that mama who's with child and contemplating under choice as her heart grows cold and colder and colder. Almost as cold as that soon to be. What they have desensitized us into trying to call them, not babies. They don't want you to call them babies. Excuse me. Oh, they call them clumps of cells, but what's the name that they want you to call? Fetus. See, fetus don't sound as lively, as real. But God called him a baby, a child.
Amen.
He said, before I formed thee, I knew thee.
Amen.
John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. We need to quit buying into the world's terminology. Because that passes on down to another generation, to our children who grow up thinking it's normal, and they will say fetus just like they will use another word. They will say LGBT instead of sodomite or whatever God called them, abomination. We should learn to call it what God called it. Wicked. Sinful. Abomination. Because we're desensitizing, and whether we realize it or not, we are passing the cold right on down. And that's how men's heart wax cold and colder. Because iniquity is abounding. Would you agree? I must hurry. But I have spoiled y'all. Rotten preaching these 30-minute messages. It's impossible to deal with this tonight in 30 minutes. I'm sorry. Let me hurry. If y'all will please listen faster, I will get done. I'm trying to lighten the load out a little bit. But this is heavy. This is heavy. Drugs are being given to people, especially kids, college students, because the pushers know giving a small investment to hook these vulnerable teenagers will pay off. You'd be amazed. Please hear me, parents, hear me. You would be amazed at how much drugs are in the high school. Hey, mom and daddy, you better check under your children's bed. I ain't playing. You better look in their trucks. I'm not going to call names, but I've been in some of your children's trucks and found things. These vapes, I'll just say this. There's way more going into vapes than what they're selling at the stores. When I was in high school, and some of you were in high school, the boys and the girls would go in the bathroom and sneak and smoke a cigarette. And as bad as that is, you'd be amazed at how many pills, how much pot, how much dope is being peddled through the school. And I'm talking about junior high school and high school. And when you get to the college level, it would blow your mind. I've been studying and researching some of the largest sums of money in America. Are you listening? Amen. In America, are pouring through colleges where wealthy parents are sending their children to get an education at good colleges, while their children, their college-age children, are going and getting hooked on dope. You would not, please don't look at me goofy. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't make this up. It is a fact. You say, not my kid. Not my kid. I raised my kid better. There's a little woman right there who I call mama. And you can't get a better mama. Can't get a better one. Raised me as good as she possibly could. And I'm sure at one point in time in her life she would have thought, not my child. I'm not trying to depress you. I'm trying to enlighten you. Nobody ever thinks it's their child until it's their child. And usually when you find out, they're so far gone, you never know if you'll get them back or not. Why? Because iniquity abounds. Jesus said, when those disciples said, how are we going to know? Give us a sign. Iniquity will abound. And I'm here to tell you, friend, it's abounding more than it's ever abounded. This world is more wicked than it's ever been. I've heard it said, and I've sadly made the mistake, Brother David, of saying this. Oh, it's just the same old world. Kids today is growing up dealing with the same stuff we dealt with. Well, that's a lie. I was so gullible and ignorant to make such a stupid statement. This world is rocking off its axis because iniquity is abounding. And men's hearts are waxing so cold. And most parents who sit in Baptist churches, even good Baptist churches like this one, are so oblivious to the fact and have such a false sense of hope, thinking, my child will never. We raised hers better. And our hearts are so cold. I said last week, I say it to me and I say it to you, we need revival so bad. I've thought a lot about our children. Could I tell you something? Mama, Daddy, you may be the only hope your child's gotten, and if your heart's cold, and it is, iniquity's going to abound and it will rear its head in your home. And you'll wish to God you hadn't let your heart get so cold. Say, but my child's doing good. Their grades are high. They're excelling. They're great in sports. They're great in their hobbies. And they're doing wonderful. And they got scholarships. How's their heart? I'm afraid we know way more about all that our children are good at and where they're excelling except with the Lord and the temperature of their heart. Because we're not too concerned about our own. I know this is hard preaching. I've heard preachers get up and preach against, well, bless God, women ought to wear this and men ought this, and they say, boy, that's hard preaching. I like hard preaching.
Amen.
I'll just say this. You may preach it harder than I can live it, but you ain't going to preach it harder than I like it.
Amen.
I like hard preaching.
Amen.
But what I'm doing tonight is hard preaching. It don't fit in a box that we can point a finger and say, ooh, that's them. Get them, preacher. No, we're all in the box. And our hearts are cold and iniquity is abounding. Are you listening? And please, before you point a finger and get mad at me, I could not go to sleep. My heart's broken. My heart's cold, way colder than it needs to be.
That's right.
And to know, Brother Jimmy, to know because I allow my heart to stay at this temperature, that can directly influence and cause iniquity to abound even more exponentially in my own children's heart. Because I'm so careless about my own. See, just because the judgment of God hadn't come swiftly down in our life yet, please remember, God's judgment grinds slow, but God's judgment grinds fine. And just because He hadn't smacked you down yet, God knows how, when, and where to open the hedge. If you don't believe me, ask Job. 10 fresh grave plots in that man's life, and he had a heart for God. We're living in a world lacking in the department of love. We live in a world full of lust. You can find lust everywhere you go. Turn the TV on. Even if you don't watch bad shows, watch the commercial. Ride up the interstate. Cut the radio on. There's lust galore. But oh, we're lacking when it comes to love in this world. We're no doubt living in a world where love has waxed cold. Goodness. That's the introduction. I ain't no way I'm going to be able to get to preach tonight. But I need about 10 minutes. Can y'all hang 10 more minutes? All right. I mean, you was going to whether you said yes or not. You might as well act spiritual and say yes. Somebody watch them cars out there too. Make sure nobody leaves. I'm just kidding. If you're saved, I think you'd agree with me. The most central element of the life of a believer is love. You know that.
Yes,
to the believer, love is the most essential element they are. Love is at the heart of everything we are.
Yes,
and everything we do as Christians. Love is the core. Everyone that's saved, your walk with God, your walk with others, your walk with your own integrity is directly connected with love. We all know we're supposed to love the Lord. We know that. We're supposed to love the Lord. Amen? Say amen so I don't have to preach on that. Amen. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all echo these words. Listen. Three out of the four Gospels echo these words. Listen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. All three of those men knew it wasn't enough to just like him or even love him a little. And not only with our heart, but with our soul and with our mind. It's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy soul, and thy mind. Ain't that what the Bible says? Remember when Simon Peter failed the Lord? Listen, you really gonna hurt my feelings if you quit hearing before I get done preaching. Please give me about 7 more minutes. Will y'all do that? I'm not here preaching another sermon tonight. God give me a message for you. The God of heaven thought enough about you to speak to you this evening. And I plead with you, don't check out before he does. How rude. How rude. How crude can you be to say, okay, God, I've heard enough, while God's speaking. I would highly advise you, give ear. Over and over, God says in the book of the Revelation, to them that have ears to hear. Let him hear. And while God's speaking, you should be hearing. You remember Simon Peter when he failed the Lord and cursed him, denied knowing him 3 times. Right? That happened right outside of where Jesus was being crucified. If you'll remember, after that third time of Peter cussing and saying, I don't know the man. Blankety blank blank, I don't know the man. Another, I said blankety blank blank, I don't know the man. And then the cock crew, and out of the corner of his eye, he saw the Lord. He saw the love, the Lord Jesus, who was headed to pay for the sin, who was headed to bleed for the sin, for the cuss words, for the denial that he had just committed. He saw love headed to hang on a tree for him. Jesus died, was buried, rose again. And Jesus sits down on the seashore and restores fallen Peter. Remember that? I mean, it was fresh. It had not been years that Simon had denied him and cussed him. Not once, not twice, 3 times. Cussed him, denied knowing him. Jesus hung on a cross. Jesus was beaten, crown of thorn on the head, stripped him naked, and they mocked him and ridiculed him, and there Jesus bled and died while Simon had just cussed him and denied him. 3 days went by, 3 nights. Jesus rose from the grave. Please hear me. Jesus didn't go find Peter and rebuke him. He went and found Peter and restored him. Do you remember what he told him? He said, Simon, lovest thou me?
Amen. Yeah.
Feed my sheep. Simon, lovest thou me? Feed my lambs. Simon, lovest thou me? You know, Jesus wasn't rebuking him. Jesus was revealing to him how great of a love, how real his forgiveness is. Jesus didn't say, Simon, are you sorry for what you did? I mean, will you at least apologize to me for what you did? No. Simon, you sure do owe me now. No. Simon, you feel bad about what you did? No. Simon, lovest thou me? He finally answered and said, Lord, you know, I don't love you nowhere near how I should love you. And Lord, I let my heart get so cold and iniquity abounded. But Lord, you know. Ain't you glad we serve a Savior? Like Jesus. When Jesus sought to restore Simon Peter, he bypassed guilt. He bypassed browbeating him. And Jesus didn't demand Peter make promises. He knew he couldn't and wouldn't be able to keep. But Jesus asked Simon a simple question, do you love me? And Jesus is asking you this evening, because it really, I'm going to stop right here, and I will come back and finish this message. We're about one-tenth of the way. But I want to end with this and say, you may not have cussed Jesus this week. You may have been on the job and all your buddies around may have been at school. You may have denied him, not verbally, but with your life, with who you went with, with what you let be said about your Savior, and you kept your mouth shut, with what you allowed in your life. Mom and Daddy, with what we allow in our home that's denying him. And we give every excuse of why it's all right. And, well, life's just the way it is, and this world's just the way it is, and they're going to do it anyway. And Jesus is asking a piercing question. He didn't come to browbeat you this evening. He ain't browbeat me this morning at 2 o'clock and all day long. He just keeps asking me the same question. Do you love me? Do you love me? I didn't come to pull you to an altar to make me feel good. But if you saved, I'm asking every one of you here, if you saved, he sent me to verbalize and vocalize out loud what I know the Holy Spirit of God is speaking in your heart. Do you love me? Do you love me? How long has it been since you let your lips tell him, Lord, thou knowest I love you? How long has it been since you let your legs bend in an altar? Say, Lord, I know I've denied you with my life, my lips. Lord, I might as well have cussed you. But Lord, I love you. And you don't have to ask me again, Lord. I'll freely tell you, I love you, Lord. Not just my lips, but with my life. I'm going to leave here tonight, and as best you'll help me, Lord, I want to live in a way that people see and know, that my children see in my home, that my wife sees in my life, that my coworkers see and know that I love a man named Jesus. He's Lord of my life. And by the grace of God, I want to live a life that's saying out loud, I love you, Lord. And stop letting our hearts wax colder and colder. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand. We don't need a piano player this evening. That's all right, Miss Holly. Thank you. These altars are open. As people are coming, I want to tell you about a man. This is the invitation. I invite you to come. Join us around an altar. Tell Jesus you love him. I'm going to close by giving you this illustration. Please listen. Please listen. There's an old man, faithful church member for years. One thing led to another. He began skipping church one Sunday night. One Sunday night led to a Wednesday night, and before he knew it, his heart had got cold. He was at a church altogether. Months went by. He got bitter. His heart got colder and harder. And finally one day the preacher came and knocked on his door. It was a cold day, snowing outside. The old man sat in front of his fireplace, had a fire going. He knocked on the door. The preacher did. pulled up a chair and sat beside the man in front of the fireplace. The preacher didn't open his mouth. He didn't say a word. He just sat beside the man and watched the fire burn. And after about 15 minutes of silence, the preacher just simply stood up from his chair, walked to the fireplace, grabbed the tongs and took one ember in the fire, picked that ember up and separated it and set it on the other side of the fireplace where there was no heat, no flame, no fire. Went back, sat down in the seat beside the man, the church member that had got cold, his heart had got cold, and slowly but surely that ember that was on fire and hot and flaming left to itself, away from the flame, away from the fire, that red hot ember turned gray, got colder, the flame went out, and it sat there. And finally, after about 20 minutes, the preacher stood back up and walked over to that cold gray ember, picked it up with his hand, had no heat, and he simply went and put the ember back into the flame and sat back down in the chair. And within minutes, that cold ember that had lost its flame, lost its heat, because of the hot fire that it surrounded by, it once again began to burn and blaze and produce heat. And the preacher simply got up, and the man that's heart was as cold as that ember looked at the preacher and said, "I'll see you Sunday, preacher," as tears wept and fell down his cheek. Some of you have gotten cold. Little by little, you've separated yourself. You've got away from things that you know you need to keep you warm for God. Your heart's got chilly and cold. The Lord sent me here this evening to remind you, you need the house of God. You need the people of God. You need God to warm your heart. Because as we read, and I read in closing, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." I am not exempt from that verse, and neither are you. Your children need you to be hot for God. Your wife needs you to be hot for God. Your church needs you to be hot for God. God said, "I would you'd be cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. And I'll spew you out of my mouth." Listen, it ain't enough just to get by. Won't you get on fire for God? Let Him warm you again. How long has it been since God has set you on fire and you made a difference? You was able to impact people's lives with the love of Christ. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. I sure do thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for dealing with my heart all night and all day. God, I pray you wouldn't stop, Lord. I pray you continue molding and working on me. Lord, that song I sang as a little boy, God, God's still working on me, Lord. Continue working on me, Lord. Oh, God, continue dealing with me. Lord, please don't leave me alone. Lord, I know iniquity is abounding all around us. God, I beg you in Jesus' name. God, for my children's sake, Lord, for my home's sake, oh, God, please set my heart on fire for you, Lord. God, put a hedge around my youngins, Lord. Keep the devil, God, keep the devil, God, keep the devil away from my children, from my wife, from my home, oh, God. God, keep the cold winds of this world away, God, from my home, Lord, from my heart, Lord. God, our church needs revival, Lord. God, not just a meeting, but God, we need a meeting with you, Lord. We need you to meet and manifest yourself with us, Lord. I pray you'd do the supernatural, God. Do, God, more than any man can do, Lord. God, help us to be in all of you, Lord. You sure are wonderful, Lord. You're great and greatly to be praised. I pray you'd go with us, Lord.
God, I pray this wouldn't just be another service, Lord. I know it's been long. Thank you for the people's patience, Lord. But God, help us, Lord, to break the mold. God, get out of the same old, Lord. God, help us to want to seek you, God, with our whole heart. Wilt thou not revive us, O God, that thy people may rejoice in thee, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Go with us now, I pray, God. I pray you'd do something with our church, God. Please, Lord. Oh, God, I don't want to just be another church, Lord. I don't want to just be another church member, God. I don't want to be just another preacher. God, I pray you'd set us on fire for Jesus' sake. Save sinners, Lord. God, reclaim the backslidden. God, please touch our young people. God, I'm so burdened, God, for every teenager. God, every teenager, every young person in this building, God, in this church. Oh, God of heaven, I feel so much like I failed them, Lord. God, I feel like our church is failing them. God, I pray you'd give us vision. God, give us vision, Lord, to go forward. Oh, God, we can't afford, God, to not have anything here for them again. Lord, they're scattered. God, I pray you'd help us to be full in full service, Lord, not just having fun, but, Lord, help us have fun. But God, help us to teach our teenagers, God, to be faithful, God, and to fall in love with you, Lord. God, help us be examples to them, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help us. Give us mamas and daddies, Lord, that want to love you, God, and live for you, God, and lead their families. God, make me one of them. God, we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Christ's name. Amen.